Hello, everybody. It is Brother Two Posts.
And Sister Amen.
We are coming to you for our edification audio, Sister Amen. Did we have a good day today?
Mm-hmm.
I had a good day, except for one big incident we'll talk about in a little bit. Other than that, well, it wasn't big, but kind of big. We'll talk about that in a minute. Other than that incident, it was an awesome day. Kind of a quiet day. I had to run around and get some parts for the gospel van. I'm going to be working on that pretty soon to get ready for our trip to start heading south eventually.
Right.
So I'm getting some things. I got to get some things done. Sister Amen, you went to the store today.
I did. I went in there and
bought some.
Praise God, the gospel went out.
Yep, gospel always goes out.
And then I got some. I kind of did an assessment on some of my dishes and stuff, and so
we can have table sets for more people.
Yeah, and bought some more, and
because we're going to be traveling with a family in the winter time, so we got us some new plates, and I like the cups we got. What do the cups say on them?
Gathered together.
I like that.
Yeah.
The body gathered together. I like that.
Yeah.
From the dollar store.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. What's on your mind today, Sister Amen? As you were out doing some Titus II shopping, handing out the gospel, you went for a long walk.
Yeah, I did. I didn't encounter anybody in the sidewalk this time.
Nope.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had... what did we have for... What'd you have for dinner tonight?
Spaghetti!
From a brother. Still
yeah, brother made me spaghetti,
that.
And
yeah.
We've been stretching it, and yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, there'll be more made with it tomorrow. Maybe I'll share with that. Going to do something different with it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this, about being faithful in the little.
Yeah, faithful in the little.
Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And I was thinking about how if we don't do the ministry the Lord has for us, he's not going to give us any more or make any changes to it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people want to jump past where they are in their walk, in their knowledge, their understanding, what the Lord allows them to see based on where they're at, what they can do. And they want to jump forward to other things that they probably aren't even capable of doing at that point.
Right.
So we have to be faithful in everything that we do. And we're kind of talking about that today, how in our ministry, as we were growing, there were times and seasons we had to go for years and years in the same things before they would change. We had to grow, we had to learn, we had to walk out that time period. There was things in our lives that, you know, like you had to endure through your job.
Yeah, you got to be patient.
Until the time got to God's timing.
I think of waiting upon the Lord, too, for his timing to for your life to catch up to his timing.
Yeah, exactly. And only he knows when we're ready for something.
Yeah.
So we have to be faithful and content. And so just encouragement, sisters, you know, there could be things in your life that you're wanting to get past, but it could be years and years before you do.
Yep.
And there's reasons for that. So
Yeah. Be
in it, be looking at it while you're going through it and not trying to get out of things, and just press yourself through it. And the Lord's going to reveal to you what you need. If you have a faithful, willing heart and you're faithful in the
Amen.
Little things, that's how they build up into other things.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. So you want to be content no matter where you are, what you're doing, and then grow into other things.
Yep.
And have patience.
Yeah, and it's good reminders for us all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. We're told to have patience, and a lot of people think it's patience for other people. We also have to have patience for ourselves, not in sin, but we have to have patience for ourselves to develop in Christ.
Right, because what we think we want or we're ready for, we might not even be close to
it. Yeah, maybe God never has that for you.
And in our ministry, we've seen a lot of people who have been very fervent to do things that they're nowhere near ready yet. And
yeah, it turned out to be prideful. They rise up to do things, and they can't do them well, and they aren't really called to do it, and then they fall away, and it's embarrassing, or it's discouragement, and then sometimes they never come back.
Yeah, we've seen that. So what we want, just encouraging you to be satisfied where you are, and just keep being faithful in the little things.
Amen, amen. I was working, I was doing something on the van real small, had my gospel signs on, and a man pulled up in a red pickup, tried to hand me some money, like $5 or $10, and I said, no, we don't need money. And I went and gave him a gospel card. He insisted. He shoved the money in my hand. So I told him, I said, well, I'm going to buy McDonald's cards with this and we'll give them out to people. And he said, good, do that. Well, we started talking. Turns out he's a Southern Baptist Convention guy. And he told me nothing I could tell him would change his mind about the Southern Baptists. And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you then. Whoa. We went over the gospel. He didn't know the biblical gospel. He didn't know he had to repent. He was a worldly man with a worldly football hat on. And we just covered a few things. And it was interesting. I said, you know what? I don't want this money. And I set it back in his seat. And I said, you don't even care about the things of God. You're handing out money. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. You can never convince me about the Southern Baptist is wrong. I said, if you'd read the Word of God, you'd see it's wrong. Pointed him some resources on my website. And at one point, I was leaning in his car to talk to him from the passenger side. He was creeping forward. I decided, oh, I'm getting my arms out of the car. Soon as he said, oh, you think football is wrong? And I said, football's worldly and carnal, sir. How can you be of a holy God? He admitted it was worldly. He took off. He yep. said, yeah, whatever, and he just took off and drove away. The guy that wanted to give us money to do ministry didn't want to talk about the biblical gospel, loves the things of the world, and didn't want to love a man that loves the truth of God. This is the kind of thing that goes on out here. This is the fruit of the Sunday Baptist church system and all the denominational church systems.
I was just going to say that you can clearly see the fruit of, in this particular case, the Southern Baptist. Because he's going to pay some guy that he, in the end, probably thinks has a false gospel.
He said that. He goes, maybe you're a false teacher.
I know. And he just handed out money. They're so undiscerning. They don't even see the fruit of their own selves right in front of themselves. Yeah. You know, and they're doing these things.
I think they're trying to win brownie points with God. Look, God, I gave your street preacher some money. Well, I don't need your money. And especially false teachers like that. So I gave him the money back and sent him on his way and warned him. That if you don't come out of man-made religion, you are not going to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't want to hear it, and he just drove off. So pretty typical of what we come across with the churchianity people. Although we strive with every single one because we love God, we love our neighbor, and the hope is that we're planting seeds that will maybe. I plant, someone else waters, God will bring the increase. We always teach that, we believe that.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe he got really mad, and he'll be thinking about it all night long.
Maybe he'll go look up that article.
I was just going to say.
I have an article called Are You Baptist or Biblical? And it exposes the Baptist faith as being ungodly. So.
Yeah, who knows?
Yep, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, good job.
Also, today, some brothers went down town. They walked downtown to go witnessing. And holding gospel signs. And they had some really good witnessing out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they made some audios. And we were listening to them. And I was really, really impressed with these young brothers out in the streets doing witnessing. And we talked about witnessing in the flesh versus the spirit. Romans 10:8. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So we talked about witnessing in the spirit versus the flesh. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amin?
Witnessing in the spirit versus the flesh?
Yeah, we were talking about how it's almost impossible. It is impossible to please God witnessing in the flesh.
Yeah, that's pretty much a given. You read the scriptures, it says you can't please God in the flesh. And in order to understand and know his word and to share his word and be living in it, you have to be walking in the spirit.
Right.
And yeah, we've seen a lot of people who try to do things in the flesh, and obviously it's not sustainable. They have to keep pressing themselves on, and slowly it just dwindles out because the flesh is nowhere near as strong as the spirit. So,
yeah, you can't be led in the flesh because the spirit is going to give you things you need to say. He's going to rise up. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you boldness. If you just operate in your flesh, that's not going to work. And you're not pleasing to God. You're not going to help your neighbor. You're not going to be a good witness. So, yeah, we're just talking about that. And James says, you have not because you ask not. So rise up, ask God to be empowered by the Spirit if you're a saint. If we're talking to saints here by the gospel. Yeah. And God will give you what you need when you're witnessing. One young brother said, when he witnesses, he just said, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'll trust God. And he said he just rose up and everything he needed to say was said right. And he said he was very thankful for how the witnessing went. So operating in the Spirit, not the flesh.
Yeah, and you said it. The key is trusting God that he's going to give you what to say that you need to know and say at the time. Obviously, we need to study and show ourselves approved, sisters. But, yeah, we have to trust in him.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part of walking in the Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
Trusting he'll give us what we need.
Amen. And the more you practice it, walking in the Spirit and witnessing, the better you get at it. It just makes sense. That's part of becoming complete and mature in the faith.
Yeah, and you have to be able to lay down your flesh. Like yep. you're saying, you know, if you got pride or fear or...
A people pleaser.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of things that people get stumbled over. And even solid believers can have some of these things rise up in them in a day. They're having yep. a bad day or something. And if they're not careful, it'll rise up in front of you and you won't be able to walk in the Spirit. You got to put it down.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you got to pour all that down. So, yeah, it's a good yeah. thought when it comes to witnessing. Make sure it's in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Today I did an audio on 2 Corinthians 9, the cheerful giver verse. And you can go listen to the audio. Sister, I'm going to link it at the top of the edification page. Basically, everybody always says that, like, giving money. Oh, God loves a cheerful giver. And that may be true, but think about all the things we have to give in the Christian life. Our time, our effort, our reputation, our old life, our relationships, our material goods, everything.
Our attention, our thoughts.
Our attention, yeah, our obedience, everything we have to give. We should be cheerful in all of that giving. And that's what I kind of cover in that quick audio.
Yeah. Yeah, because if we're not cheerful, we might as well chew on a piece of quail meat.
Right. Yeah, I talk about how the Israelites were not cheerful and thankful, and God destroyed them in the desert, so we don't want that to happen to us or our neighbors. So think about, or our brethren, think about being a cheerful giver in all things, not just money. It's one of those scripture verses that people kind of twist, but it means more than just giving in money.
It does, and you know what? Money can be really easy to give away.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you love your money, but yeah.
I cover that. I cover that. There's people, like this guy today, the Southern Baptist guy, he was ready to give me money, but he didn't give of himself to listen to the truth.
Nope.
So that was a good example right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else today, Sister Amin?
Yeah, I do have another thing I was thinking about.
What are you thinking about?
I was thinking about encouragement for those who have to work in the world or being helpers to others. I know, we always talk about a lot of the same things, but I love reminders, and so it's nice to cycle through.
Nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, just cycle through all these reminders to help encourage us, because it's encouraging to us too. And so I was going to read Titus 2:9 and then one more after that. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in things, not answering again. And then Ephesians 6:5-7. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. And so that's just an encouragement for, I know Brother Tupos and I were in the workforce for many, many years, and we're not now. Now we serve the Lord and his people and ministry and street preaching. But there's a lot of, we know in the body, a lot of people do have to labor.
Yep, yep.
Whether it's in the world or helping for others. And we need to do that with joy unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And this is a serious thing.
Yeah.
You know, because
we just talked about being a cheerful giver.
Exactly, yeah. So we need to take this serious, because we're supposed to do it as unto him and being good servants. And servants would be people who are working or whatever it is. So, yeah, it's a serious calling. And I know a lot of people, it can be easy to sit there and grumble about whatever it is, the job it is that you have to do to help pay for your bills and earn your money or your keep or whatever it is. But we don't want to do that, because that's not a good witness.
Yeah, be thankful for what you do have.
Yeah, and that also goes for us in ministry, too, even though if it's not earning mammon, we have to be patient, like you said one time a while ago, to work on your patience on when not to be or when to be. And
be thankful for whatever comes up.
And like you said, it goes right along with the cheerful givers.
Yep.
Giving of our time, even if it's late into the morning and then waking up early and keeping on doing it, we all have a different thing to do in our life. We just have to do, every one of us has to do it cheerfully.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, be cheerful in the service of God. What will we not do for the Savior? We talked about what you will do. What will you not do?
Yeah. That's the biggest one. That kind of goes along with what I mentioned and brother said the other day.
Yep.
It's not so much what you give, it's what you keep back.
Yeah, what you hold back. The Lord says, I want that one thing. Yeah. At the beginning of this audio, I talked about the bad thing that happened to me today. He had one bad thing happen. I was working on a van. I'm working on a wiring thing in the back. One of my signal lights isn't working. I was working on it. And rather than, men, always use the right tool. Rather than going and getting the right tool, getting my cutters to cut some tie wraps, I was cutting them with a X-Acto knife, a real sharp X-Acto knife, and it slipped and went right across my knuckle, and it cut me open like a dead fish. and I probably need stitch. Should have got stitches, but I quickly went by Sister Amen, and we stopped the bleeding, and we put a butterfly on it.
Yeah, I put one of those butterfly Band-Aids on it, and then
now we have a splint.
Yeah, so it's not going to bend and pop.
It's
it
right across the knuckle on my index finger, and so I can't bend my finger, and so I'm thankful it wasn't worse than it was, but I wasn't able to get much done today. But I always have the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
And make sure that you are ready for accidents like this. It was good to have some good medical equipment. Sister Amma's my live-in nurse. She lives with me as my wife and my nurse. So, yeah, she's taking care of it for me. And, yeah, that was, like, the worst of my day. I guess if that's the worst I got going on in my life, I'm doing pretty good. But it wasn't very pleasant.
No, let's see. Hopefully, it's a good gash.
It's a good gash. It's about an inch long and really deep.
Any of you sisters might have a weak stomach. I don't think you would have made it.
You wouldn't want to look at this thing. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but I'm praising God that it seems like it's doing good. It doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, that's good. We'll try to keep infection out. And if we can take care of it ourselves with the Lord, help of the Lord healing it.
So this is teaching me. So the reason I tell you about my finger is to use the right tool. And then this is teaching me patience, right? Because I got a lot of stuff I want to do in the van. And guess what? I will not be doing much mechanical things on the van because I'm basically working with a hand and a half now. My whole index finger, I can't bend. And you can't get your other fingers to work on stuff. So it's going to be probably 3 or 4 days before I'll be able to take the splint off, probably. Do you think longer than that?
I would say a couple, but you still got to be super careful because you bend it, you're going to pop that thing right back.
Yeah, so I got to be real careful now, so I'm really, really limited. So this teaches me to be patient, and now even when I'm doing ministry and stuff, typing, now I don't even have a good typing finger anymore. So just got to learn to be patient, not let those things get you down, and be thankful for everything. Maybe there's a reason this happened. I don't know what the reason is yet, but I'm thankful. And maybe I need to focus on some other things right now. So just one of those things that happens in life.
Yeah.
I was careless, and I'm thankful it wasn't more severe. I could have cut my finger off completely, maybe, or cut it even deeper.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that. But yeah, how you handle adversity says a lot about who you are.
It does.
Let's talk about that for a minute. What do you think of that? Because that's what I was starting to think about here. How you handle adversity. Oh, everything's going great. Everything's going good. This is awesome. That's easy. When adversity comes up, whether it's a deep cut finger, a blown out tire, things don't go right in the kitchen, things don't go right out in the street when you're witnessing, things don't go right in relationships, what do you do? Do you fall apart? Do you fly apart? Do you get all frustrated? Do you become a grumbler? Oh, it seems like we're on a cheerful theme here.
Yeah.
Or are you thankful and say, you know what, Father, no matter what, I'm going to be thankful for this. What do you think?
Well, I think I would add in there that obviously the flesh can rise up at times here and there. You could have some issues, I would say. But for us sisters, I would say if it's a continuous pattern that you go into those places that you ought not to in adversity and you don't deal with it well, then I would say that's within you and something you need to root out.
Right.
You know, I mean, even when it rears up, if we don't want to be in sin, that's one thing, but if it's a constant, continuous
everybody can get in their flesh here and there, but if it's a constant pattern.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a frequent one.
Right.
To where you kind of know what's going to be happen, then you ought to be working on it now.
Yeah.
So it's a good reminder for all of us to start working on that now, so when the next one comes up, we can overcome it better.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't have too many of these in the future.
Oh, well.
Cut fingers.
Yeah, there'll be other things, I'm
Amen.
Sure. Every
Amen.
Day it seems like there's always something
that
we have to overcome.
We got to overcome. In fact, go read the book of Revelation. If we overcome, we have great promises and rewards from the Lord.
And we have the promises that we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we follow his word and walk in the spirit, and he can give us his strength.
Also, I had somebody ask about this section of verse. I'm going to read it. 2 Timothy 2:23-26. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who had been taken captive by him at his will. So somebody asked me about this and said, well, doesn't this mean that we can never, like, rebuke anybody, or we got to always be, like, long-suffering, patient, and kind with people and never correct and all that? I probably need to do a whole teaching on this sometime. Actually, that's not what it means in context. What it means is, if there are people that will listen to the teaching, we're patient, we're long-suffering, we're kind with them. We want to do that for all men. But we know, never build your theology off a couple verses. We know that Paul and Jesus clearly rebuked false teachers. And Peter and Paul and John and Jesus rebuked people that claimed to be Christians that were living in sin. So we know that it doesn't mean that you just got to be kind and gentle with all people, because the men that were example before us were not, they were always, I wouldn't say the word isn't kind, but they weren't always meek and mild-mannered in that way. There was a time for rebuke. There was a time for correction. There was a time for separation. So this verse is just saying that if you have people that are willing to be taught, to be patient with them and instruct them. So if you have people that are claiming to be Christians and they don't want to be taught and they want to live in sin and trample Christ's blood, they need a rebuke. And we were just talking about the difference between the two. So there's a time to be patient, long-suffering, and more kind. There's a time to call out, to rebuke them, and to separate from them. So you got to keep that in mind. Scripture teaches both ways.
Right.
And if we're one-sided too much, then we're lopsided.
Right, and that goes right back to the walking in the Spirit, yeah. knowing which right. is which, and experience yeah. and going through a lot of it. Sometimes it's easy to tell somebody something, but until they actually walk it and experience right. it,
yeah.
maybe, you know, not do quite as good as you wanted to and examine it and do better the next time, and
yep,
they all build upon each other.
You definitely want to be led by the Spirit in that, so you know when to rebuke, when to be patient. We never are patient, long-suffering in sin, never.
Mm-mm.
We call out sin. But when to do what is very, very important. And those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
And like you always say, redemption
yep.
would be the motive.
Right.
And so that helps, like, what do you want to say, ground you.
Yeah, even when
you.
I rebuke a false teacher, the goal is that it convicts him and he repents. Because yeah. I love him. I'm supposed to love my enemies. He's an enemy. I love him.
Well, we want for none to perish either.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
I know God does, but
yeah,
we don't
Peter
either.
3:9. Yeah, Second Peter 3. God does not want any to perish.
Yeah.
And so we got to make sure that we have that same mindset.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd want somebody to have that with me.
Right. So if we're listening to the truth, let people be long-suffering over and over and over. If we start rejecting and denying and teaching false ways, we need a rebuke and a correction.
Yeah.
And Paul says, live at peace with all men, if possible.
Right.
We know it's not possible with everyone, so.
Yeah, that's because they don't see what peace really is.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Amen. Anything else tonight, Sister Amin?
I have a scripture verse.
You do? Go for it.
Yep, it's a simple one. I love this. I love how one sentence can pack in so much. Psalm 121, 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
Yeah.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
A handful of words says so much. I
yeah.
love it.
We serve a big God, made heaven and earth.
Yeah, I love that.
All encompassing. Makes me think of Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
I like how to describe God that way, the beginning and the end. And he's everything in between.
That kind of puts you in your place.
Yeah,
don't
you
it?
Can't get anything else. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, huh?
And the I am.
Yeah. Amen.
That's big.
Amen.
Yeah.
The verse I want to share as we close out, Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hey, that verse I just read in Timothy, it said that the man of God shouldn't strive. Well, that's talking about disputing and quarreling with the wrong reason. Here he says that you should strive together for the faith of the gospel. So you got to know when to strive, against what, for what, or against it.
Or with who.
Or with who.
Right?
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I guess we're going to leave it right there. Anything else, Sister Amin?
Well, I say it every night, but I mean it. Love to the saints, and I hope you're all striving on. Let us know how we can help you, and we're here for you.
Yeah, I think we should talk about this. We've got brothers striving in ministry. We got another brother on this other side of the world striving in ministry. Getting ready to go out and start handing out pamphlets.
Yeah.
And then we have a young family getting ready to head out of Canada, coming to America to come travel with us and preach.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a sister that's headed back to her home country.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she couldn't stay.
There.
Yep. Unfortunately, she couldn't stay because of the laws. It didn't work out the way everyone thought, but we're rejoicing. because she's going back in ministry, and she's going to be going back, I think, a different person.
Oh, yeah.
And she's got a calling there, and who knows what the Lord will have for her.
Standing and, fast and shining her light, all the saints all over
amen.
The world shining
yeah,
their
everybody's
light.
Doing their ministry, and everyone's striving, and we're here to help them all. So
right.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right, so that's what we're going to have for you today. Go forth. Ready? You ready for this, Sister Almond?
I'm ready. Are you?
Go forth. Comfort yourself in the truth of God. There's a scripture verse that says that.
Yes.
Comfort yourself in the truth of God.
Yeah, I like that.
That's another one of those short ones that says a lot.
That's comforting.
So we take comfort in the truth of God because it is our foundation. We're built on Christ the rock, not sand, and nothing is going to sweep us away.
How can you not rest on that?
Amen. Let's rest and leave it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Love you all. Go out and have a glorious day. We're here for you anytime. Shoot us an email. Love to hear from you.
May God be praised.